Workday Afternoon Replay from Money FM 89.3. Health Suite with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites. Today I'm speaking with Anna Jacob, Director of Nutrition at Abbott Nutrition International Singapore, about the dangers of diabetes burnout. Welcome, Anna, to the show. First and foremost, maybe you need to explain diabetes burnout.
Thank you for having me on the show. Diabetes burnout really speaks to the physical and emotional exhaustion that people with diabetes experience when they have to deal with caring for themselves on a day-to-day basis for diabetes.
Right. It's a life of medication and perhaps even daily insulin jabs, etc. That's what you're talking about, the fatigue of that?
Yes. When you have to do so many things to stay in control, then it does take a toll on your emotions.
Right.
And we want to bring attention, together with Diabetes Singapore, to the person behind the condition of diabetes, the emotions they've experienced. And it is important to recognize it, and for not only the patient, but also the caregivers, the healthcare professionals around
them. The family.
Yes, in order that we have sufficient empathy to help them cope with it, and yet help them find the motivation to break free of this condition.
All right. Now, you recently did a study, or Abbott. Was it Abbott that did the study?
Well, we partnered with Diabetes Singapore.
Okay. You recently did a study and found that 2 in 5 Singaporean adults experience diabetes burnout. I'm going to assume those adults that you're talking about are diabetic.
Definitely. We focused on 160 over patients with type 2 diabetes.
Okay. What is type 2 diabetes?
Okay. These are patients who develop diabetes probably later in life and probably are a little bit overweight. And it's not because they don't have any insulin. They just have a little less insulin than they should.
All right. And this study, which found 2 in 5 Singaporeans who have diabetes suffer from diabetes burnout. So that's almost half.
That's right.
That's not a good number.
No. I think we know we're in the midst of the war on diabetes.
Okay.
And our government is taking an amazing all-of-a-nation approach to healthy living to prevent diabetes, as well as to identify patients early, treat them early, and help people coping with diabetes to manage their diabetes better. Mm-hmm. But what we wanted to do with the survey is to just bring awareness that the patient who's trying to cope with all the self-care on a daily basis, and as you mentioned, which never goes away, the emotions behind it and the frustration they experience.
Because it never goes away.
No, it doesn't. And once they get frustrated, what happens is that some of them cope well, some of them just give up. And when they give up, that's when they don't take sufficient attention to the many things that they need to, for example, eating a healthy diet every day, taking their medications regularly, going for exercise. And this will in itself result in poor diabetes control.
Okay, let's talk about some symptoms. Are there symptoms before somebody reaches that point of diabetes burnout?
Well, you yourself as a patient could look out for red flags or family members who are surrounding the patient with diabetes could just look out for signals like expressions of frustration.
Right.
Or, you know, absolutely not even caring about basics like taking your medications regularly or not even bothering to pick the healthier choice when you have the option to do that.
Right.
Yep. And when they, you know, don't want to go to the doctor or when they are just snappy at home.
I never want to go to the doctor.
But these poor patients do need to see the doctor.
This is true.
Every 3 months at least.
Okay. That's true. I mean, you're absolutely right. I can choose to be stubborn and not go to the doctor, but a diabetic doesn't have that luxury.
That's right.
Okay. Now, you found that there are 4 main areas that contribute to diabetes burnout: emotional distress, regimental distress, physician-related distress, and interpersonal distress. Now, I'm going to assume physician-related distress is they don't want to see a doctor and they're not necessarily happy with what the doctor has to say to them.
That's right. Actually, many of them worry a lot weeks before they go to the doctor because it feels like that final exam you have to do when they understand
you're
what their
blood sugar. You're going
to get caught. Yeah.
You know, you didn't take your medicines every day. You ate what you weren't supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, so there is that stress there. What is regimental distress?
So if you have diabetes on a daily basis, you need to watch out for what you eat, mm-hmm. how much you eat, when you eat. You also have to exercise regularly. You also have to take your medication on time. All of this is so hard to do every day for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. The fact that you have to do something so regularly frustrates some people, and it just makes you so feel so trapped, and there's sure. no escape. So that adds to stress.
All right. I'm starting to understand where this why it was this was an important study to do. Now, before we go back to diabetes burnout, one of the things that you've already highlighted and is my understanding with diabetes is the importance of proper nutrition.
That's right.
What is it that they need to do to make sure that their nutrition is balanced for a diabetic?
Diabetes is really a carbohydrate intolerance mm-hmm. disease. So you really need to know what you can eat, mm-hmm. how much you can eat. There is no perfect diabetic diet, but there is a healthy diet that mm-hmm. every diabetic patient may need to eat for the rest of their life. So you need to have a well-balanced diet, make selections of foods that are low in glycemic index. You have to eat less fat, less saturated fat. You've got to top up your diet with more fruits and vegetables, avoid eating the starchy vegetables. And because patients with diabetes are also at a higher risk of cardiovascular disease, mm-hmm. you have to eat less salt, less saturated fat, less trans fat. You need to eat a healthy
diet. It's a long list.
Yes, it is. And that's why we found in our survey that the top stressor when it comes to all of the aspects of self-care was the selection of the healthy diet every single day.
Is there enough assistance for them at that point?
Well, many patients have access to dietitians at polyclinics or hospitals.
But that's not somebody cooking the meals for you and making the choices for you.
Which is why we do believe that we need the caregivers, the family members, to come around the patient with diabetes to select the healthier choices, the choices that are low in glycemic index, even prepare food together and eat healthily together as a family so that it relieves some of that food choice stress.
Okay. I mentioned this before the microphone went on. My grandmother and my father-in-law, both diabetics their whole lives, and both very stubborn when it came to their food. They both had amazing sweet tooths, love mm-hmm. their cakes, love their sugar, donuts, and what have you. Bad, bad choices.
Well, they're real choices.
They are real choices.
Surrounds us in Singapore, the food paradise.
Yes, exactly. Also, they loved meats, fatty meats, you know, our subang and stuff. It was, and I understand a diabetic's frustration because if you love food like that and you're told, not for you anymore, ever,
yeah,
that would be very frustrating.
It is. 97% of the patients who participated in this survey and said they had diabetes distress actually wanted to be empowered about their diet. Mm-hmm. And we gave them a whole slew of options, right, mm-hmm. From cooking demonstrations and supermarket tours and more education and other choices. And you know what are the first? What was the first top choice they picked? Was a delicious, convenient diabetes nutrition supplement, which they could use as a replacement for unhealthy snacks or a very high carbohydrate meal.
Because they want those unhealthy snacks.
So, you know, in a way, when you choose this, you actually make it convenient. You take away the temptations.
Right.
And you actually allow yourself to have great control.
Indeed. All right. The thing is, now we go back to diabetes burnout. It is difficult. I am a foodie. If I was told I could never have another beautiful, very calorie-laden chocolate cake or, you know, a rather large steak or potatoes to go with it, I would be rather traumatized.
Truly. And we need to understand every patient with diabetes feels like that. Mm-hmm. We need to allow the patient to vent.
Okay.
You must help them feel that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. And then the family members, the caregivers, the friends, and even the healthcare professionals need to empathize a lot more and allow this patient to express their frustration, yet help them to identify the motivation inside them that will actually help them follow through these very regimental expectations.
Now, what else did the survey throw up for you that might have been surprising?
Right. We found that people who were younger actually were more frustrated with caring for diabetes than the older people.
Really?
It could be because they have busy lifestyles. Mm-hmm. They don't have the time to make the food and, you know, go for exercising. So they are the ones who felt more frustrated than the older ones. We found that men had more diabetes distress than women because probably women have greater ability to care for the details and the men don't. And so that's why they want convenient choices. And we need to break out of our usual thinking and provide them at least some options that will make some of their meals definitely easier to control.
Okay. Now let's talk about the activities that Abbott and Diabetes Singapore have developed to help these individuals and their caregivers get the support they need without suffering diabetes burnout.
So the very first thing was we did the survey to find out that this syndrome does exist. And the second thing we did was at the recent World Diabetes Day celebration on November 17th, we had the Vice President of Diabetes Singapore speak to the study findings and also to develop this acronym called EASE.
Okay.
Right? We wanted people to understand they can be empowered with knowledge and the right attitudes, they can be empowered over their disease, especially when it comes to diet. Mm-hmm. Knowing helps them become confident, helps them swap out changes. The second thing was we thought A was how do we help them adopt healthier choices? You know, so we kind of made a list of things that they could pick up, even in the hawker stall. Now the government's working so hard to make healthier choices available. And also in the supermarket, there are, you know, the little healthier choice symbol that takes away the thinking.
Are there healthier choices at the hawker centre?
Well, the Health Promotion Board is trying very hard to do that. And I think we must support the hawkers to pick those healthier choices.
Right.
And make it more available to people with diabetes as well. And the third part of the acronym was S, EASE, E-A-S-E. Mm. The S was to speak to the doctor open-heartedly. Don't be afraid of your doctor. Actually, prepare the questions you have and even express the frustration. They are there to help you through this journey. And the final part of the acronym was E, which was about engaging in open dialogues. It's many Singaporeans find it hard to talk about diabetes or even acknowledge they have diabetes. I think it's important for us to come to this point in our life when we say, yes, we do have diabetes. We can share this with family and friends. And in fact, encourage family and friends to come around us and make that healthier choice with us so that it doesn't become such a lonely journey.
Okay. And that's a wonderful idea. And I hope that it does actually work. Like I said, I've had family members with diabetes. It's difficult to be a family member, never mind about being a caregiver, just being around them when they're being cranky. Is hard enough.
That's right. So we've developed 4 workshops, which we will be running from January onwards with Diabetes Singapore. Mm-hmm. It will tackle each of the pillars of diabetes distress.
Okay.
And at these workshops, both patients and their caregivers can come around and learn practical tips on how they can motivate themselves, empower themselves to deal with each aspect of the distress. Mm-hmm. So you can look out for more information on these workshops on Diabetes Singapore website or on the Abbott Singapore website as well.
So are they going to be ongoing then?
So we will be working very closely with Diabetes Singapore to understand the effect and the impact of these workshops and the patient education materials we'll be developing. And as an ongoing partnership, we, Abbott, are fully committed to helping patients understand distress and break out of it.
All right. Thank you very much, Anna Jacob, Director of Nutrition at Abbott Nutrition International Singapore, for coming in and talking to us. First of all, explaining diabetes burnout. I think a lot of us might not have even put a name to something that we've experienced, and actively doing something to reach out and help. We appreciate the conversation very much here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.